We now bring to these microphones David James. It's that time for our weekly conversation, and let's get right into it, David. I've got to tell you, buddy, I must be a glutton for punishment. I spent this last week torturing myself watching that presidential debate. I don't know if you were able to see it all or not, but we're just a couple of days away from the election of one of the ugliest presidential campaigns, I believe, in American history.
Well, that's true. And in fact, I did watch the debate. And, you know, I guess there were some good points in it, but there was a lot of things that I would suggest that were bad from both sides. And then I've seen some clips in the past couple of days from the Al Smith charity dinner where both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton both spoke. And of course, it's supposed to be kind of a roast and throwing jabs at one another. But in an unusual twist, because of some of the things that were said, there were some strong moments of boos from the crowds, and it just got really ugly. You know, I live in Indiana where Mike Pence is governor, and so now the race for governor is on. And I commented to my wife Karen just the other night as we were watching TV. It seems like every ad that comes on TV is just absolutely totally negative. It's not talking about the strong points and the things that the various candidates, whether it be governor, president, or the various levels, but they're just completely negative, running down the other people. It's just very ugly.
Well, you know, David, there is a real deep divide, mostly because of what you're talking about, and it's happening in this country, including among Christians, over which presidential candidate to support or to vote for, or in fact, whether to vote at all.
Well, that's true, and you know, I've read quite a number of articles in preparation for our discussions, and we've been discussing this for about a year now. We first began following the presidential candidates back during the beginnings of the primary season and the initial debates, and you know, the fact is there are good and godly believers on both sides of this issue, and there's a deep divide, especially even in the evangelical community. You know, there have been a number of top evangelical leaders who have come out in favor of Donald Trump, for example, like Jerry Falwell Jr. and Tony Perkins and others. But then there are others who also take exception to that. And there was even a row this week at Liberty University where Dr. Falwell actually pulled an article in a student newspaper that was critical of Donald Trump, and this has caused some confusion. And so, you know, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who really don't know what to do in this presidential election process, and I think it's good that we're discussing it some.
Yeah, and as you said, many believers seem to be very stressed out about this election. Now, let me ask you your opinion. Are we placing too much emphasis on the political process?
Well, I think we are. I think there are several biblical principles that we need to keep in mind as believers. One is that the Lord is absolutely sovereign and He is in control. You know, the nation of Israel, looking back in the Old Testament, one of the problems that the nation of Israel ran up against is that they were frequently facing foreign armies and pressures and political problems and geopolitical problems. And David in Psalm 20 said, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." And in fact, the Lord instructed Israel not to acquire a lot of horses and chariots to fight their enemies, but rather to trust in Him. And in all the battles that the Lord fought, where the nation had submitted themselves to Him, they didn't lose people in battle. It was only when they turned away from God and were trusting in themselves and their own power and political might and military might that they got into trouble. And we also know, you know, Daniel was taken captive to Babylon, and when Israel was taken captive, Daniel and his friends, and Daniel moved to a position of one of the highest places in the Babylonian government as he completely submitted himself to the Lord. And he made the observation, we read in Daniel 2:21 concerning the Lord, he says that He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So we understand that we should be trusting in the Lord. It's wrong for Christians to worry. We do the best we can, but we trust the Lord for the outcome.
Well, meanwhile, there's a sentiment that's growing by leaps and bounds. Given the choices that we have, that believers should simply just stay home and not vote.
Well, yes, that's true, and I've read articles on both sides, some saying that it's not a right moral choice to say that you choose between the lesser of two evils. I think there are some problems with that argument, but beyond that, my observation and my perspective on this is that most people are fairly uninformed concerning the various candidates after you get past perhaps the presidential candidate or the candidate for governor in a state or perhaps a few U.S. senators. When you get down ticket further, most people are fairly uninformed and don't know who the candidates are. And I also think that most people probably just vote a straight ticket. So if they decide not to vote for a president, they'll stay home, which means that they're also not voting for other people on a particular platform. And the truth is, as you look at two different platforms, there are some radical differences between the two platforms, especially when it comes to issues regarding morality. When it comes to issues regarding abortion, you're not just voting for a candidate, you're voting for the platform that they represent. So I think that we're in a situation where, as Americans, God has, in his sovereignty, has put us in a position where we do have a say, and we're looking at the next generation, even down at the local level with school boards.
Let me ask you this then, David. One of the arguments frequently given for voting for one candidate over another is related to the appointment of Supreme Court justices. But actually, is this a reliable measure?
Well, you know, that's a great question. In preparing for our discussion, I did some research into this, and I look back at the Supreme Court justice nominations all the way back to President Nixon, and there have been 20 Supreme Court justices who have been appointed during that time since President Nixon became president in 1968. And of those, 16 of them have been appointed by Republican presidents, and only 4 of them have been appointed by Democratic presidents, which tells me that this is not necessarily a good measure, because we are in the situation we're in with Roe v. Wade, with the ruling on the same-sex marriage and various things that have been brought up over the past 50 years. And we're looking at decisions made by a Supreme Court that has been largely appointed by Republican presidents. So I think it's a little bit of an illusion to think that this is going to make a major difference, and it doesn't always turn out the way you want. The other thing to think about it is, I don't know that it's right to be looking at the Supreme Court justices as a political tool, because they are supposed to be apolitical. Their job is to judge things based against the Constitution and to determine whether they're constitutional or not, which should be an apolitical process.
Well, from a biblical perspective then, David, what is the fundamental role of government from God's Word in God's eyes?
Well, we look back, and we've discussed this before. You go back to Genesis chapter 9 with the Noahic covenant, and God instituted a rudimentary form of human government, and it was for the purpose of restraining evil, that if someone would murder someone, that they would be called to account and their life would be taken by society as a rule to restrain evil. And we read in Romans chapter 13 that no authority is put into place except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so he puts governments in place to accomplish his purposes. We know that even in history, he used them to judge the nation of Israel. He used them to protect the nation of Israel, for example, when he brought Joseph into power in Egypt and Daniel into power in Babylon, and also to provide peace and stability in this evil world. So it's one of the tools that God uses to accomplish his purposes.
David, remind us, if you will, as believers, what is our biblical responsibility to our leaders in government?
Well, there are two major responsibilities. One of them we find, again, back in Romans 13. It says that whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. So we are to be subject, as Romans 13:1 says, be subject to the governing authorities. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 13, Peter says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." And he says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." But, so that's one thing. We are to submit to the authorities, except where they would come into a conflict with the laws of God. And then the second we find in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where he says that we are to pray and intercede for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
I've got to tell you, David, I have been praying for both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That would take care of a lot of problems in this political debate that's going on. That is a great, great responsibility we need to make certain that we're living under and by. Well, as we're going to make the decision, and all of us are going to probably do that, to either stay home or to go vote, as we choose to vote, if we do, what are some of the things that we need to keep in mind as believers, which are biblical?
Well, first of all, I would say there is no perfect candidate, and we usually find out many things about candidates after they're already in office. So we're not voting for pastor-in-chief. We're voting for commander-in-chief and president of the United States. So we're looking for someone of the choices that we have to best lead the country. So in that, we're also voting not just for the person, but for a platform. Of course, character in the individual person is important, but the thing that we're voting for is much bigger than that. We also have a responsibility, as God has given us in our democracy and given us the privilege, to participate in that process. We also have to look at what the candidates view as far as their relation to Israel. Is the United States going to continue to be a protector of Israel, or are they going to set themselves against Israel? And then, there are moral issues, and we know that one platform seems to be very much against moral issues as we would understand them, whether it be marriage, a homosexual issue, abortion, and various other things. So we need to keep all those in mind, as well as freedoms for Christians who practice their faith according to biblical principles. So those are things we must keep in mind.
Biblical principle, that's the key phrase right there as you determine who you're going to be voting for. David, I think a very important program, as you suggested at the outset, we needed to discuss this again, and maybe before the election we'll do it also. We'll have to see if something else comes up. David James, the man who I have a conversation with each and every week. We appreciate David's research and his presentation. David, thank you so much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Great to be with you.